When you were in the midst of it, it was the racket. As you got farther away from it, it was the rumbling. One thing you could say about it, it wasn't hard to remember which way to run. As they hurried toward their imperiled home, Tetis and Jed tried to warn the creatures of the treetops, mostly the squirrels, but also some birds, chipmunks, what have you, about what was coming their way. At first, animals listened to them. The rumbling had already made them uneasy. They were nervous and jumpy. They were looking for explanations. But the farther the friends traveled, the harder it was to convince anyone. As the rumbling was muffled by foliage and dimmed by distance, it could barely be heard above all the other sounds of the world. How much more urgent was this cold wind rushing in, bringing heavy skies that swallowed up the treetops and let loose drops of icy rain? And when a few stray bits of snow were sighted, falling in among the raindrops, instinct took over completely. Now squirrels looked blankly at Jed and Tetis, not even hearing what they said. Almost to a squirrel, they responded with the same six words. Winter is coming, I must gather. Only two squirrels along the way actually stopped and listened to their warning. The first was a big burly fellow, old and grizzled. A squirrel who had survived many dangers. He turned a black, still shiny eye toward them. Someone has said this sort of thing before, he said. Was it today? Was it yesterday? I can't be sure. He cocked his head. I can't hear any rumbling. Perhaps you are mistaken. He smiled at them. We saw it, said Tetis. We saw it with our own eyes. Gathering it for nuts, said the burly old squirrel with a sage air. Scattering is for danger. This is an ancient squirrel saying along the lines of, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But, sputtered Tetis, but... Come on, T.T., said Jed. Goodbye, sir. When a tree falls in your forest, may the sound of it be distant. This is another ancient squirrel saying. You could probably guess for yourself what it means. Jed said it to be courteous, but he was pretty sure that this time it was not going to be true. The second squirrel who listened was a young reddish female. That's what the other one said, she muttered or murmured. More to herself than to them. She spoke with only a faint trace of a reddish accent. The other one? Asked Jed. Squirrels passing through, she said thoughtfully. Migrating like geese, like robins, like butterflies, for crying out loud. That's not what squirrels do. Something isn't right. She spoke as if she was thinking aloud. She looked at them, studying them, as if they had held the secret to a puzzle she was trying to solve. A gust of wet wind blew her fur the wrong way, and she wrapped her tail around her shoulders. She held a seed pod close to her breast. It was clear that she was fighting the instinct to run with it and hide it. In the middle distance, a grating, gravelly roar rose and fell. The three squirrels flinched. It's just like he described it, said the reddish squirrel, a bone-crushed, crunching racket. Tetis and Jed exchanged glances. He said bone-crunching? Asked Tetis. What did he look like? Asked Jed, the other squirrel. The squirrel shrugged. He was grayish, she said, like you. Also, he wore a cap. She patted the top of her head. Also, she added shyly, he was handsome. What kind of cap? Asked Tetis. What, was it an acorn top? Yes, said the squirrel, with a sprig of something on top. Goldenrod, I think. He's alive then, said Jed to Tetis. And he's heading home, said Tetis. Like us, ahead of us. Tetis and Jed embraced. They jumped up and down and spun around. Then, wanting to share their joy, they drew the reddish girl into their circle and spun around again and again. Being squirrels, they were able to manage all this without falling from the tree. Thank you, shouted Tetis as they spun. Thank you for the good news. Then, because even squirrels get dizzy, they sat down. Now it was the world that was spinning, and they laughed, waiting for it to stop, and it did. But the bone-crunching racket crescendoed a little louder. A little closer. Vibrations rippled and buzzed through their rumps and their foot pads. "We'd better go," said Jed. "Okay," said Titis. "I'm going with you," said the girl squirrel with a sudden resolve. Then, more uncertainly, "If that's okay."
"It's fine," said Titis.
"But what about your family?"
"I'm an orphan," she answered, speaking simply and without self-pity. "A solitary, long story. I'll tell you all about it, but..."
Indicating with a nod the sound of shredding tree and the sharp whine that went with it. "I think we'd better talk while we move."
"What do we call you?" asked Jed.
Chokochi is my name," said the squirrel, "but you can call me Chikiki."